Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Thursday, October the 14th, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat, you've heard of 47 traitors. Now, 147 traitors. Every one of them from the Republican Party, just like the previous 47 traitors. I'm going to explain right after this.
The undersigned, Roy Blunt and Amy Klobuchar, tellers on the part of the Senate, Zoe Lofgren and Rodney Davis, tellers on the part of the House of Representatives, report the following as a result of the ascertainment and counting of the electoral vote for President and Vice President of the United States for the term beginning on the 20th day of January, 2021. The report we make is that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be the president and the vice president according to the ballots that have been given to us.
He has a statement.
The whole number of electors appointed to vote for President of the United States is 538. Within that whole number, a majority is 270. The votes for President of the United States are as follows. Joseph R. Biden Jr. of the state of Delaware has received 306 votes. Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 232 votes. The whole number of electors appointed to vote for Vice President of the United States is 538. Within that whole number, a majority is 270. The votes for Vice President of the United States are as follows. Kamala D. Harris of the state of California has received 306 votes. Michael R. Pence of the state of Indiana has received 232 votes. The announcement of the state of the vote by the President of the Senate shall be deemed a sufficient declaration of the persons elected President and Vice President of the United States, each for the term beginning on the 20th day of January, 2021, and shall be entered together with the list of the votes on the journals of the Senate and the House of Representatives.
That was over 9 months ago. That was January the 7th, 2021. The voices you heard there were that of Senator Amy Klobuchar out of Minnesota, and at that point, at that time, the Vice President of the United States, Mike Pence. And that was played, dear listener, for this reason. Because it was hours and hours after the terrorist attack on not only the United States Capitol, but on our country. That is how this really should be framed, because that is exactly what it was. It was a terrorist attack on our country, on any notion of democracy, on any notion of a peaceful transfer of power. And so I play that clip just to remind you, dear listener, that that only happened 9 months ago. 9 months and 9 days ago. Time has flown by, but the memory, at least for some of us, has not. The other reason I play that clip is because it is important to play that clip, and not only is it important to play that clip as a reminder, it is also important to play that clip because that is how a peaceful, orderly power of transfer of power is supposed to go here in the United States of America. Every first week in January, you have this transfer of power in every 4 years, on an every 4 year basis. On this particular occasion, it took a few hours longer, but it got done. And those voices you heard were the voices on the floor of the House of Representatives. Now, the other reason why I played that clip, and that clip was give you an exact time frame on January the 7th. That was the early morning hours of January the 7th on the East Coast in Washington, D.C. Vice President at the time, Mike Pence, officially affirmed the presidential election victory for Joe Biden at 3:45 in the morning. It's specifically 3:46 a.m. 14 minutes to 4 in the morning, on the morning of Thursday, January the 7th, 2021. It would have been a Thursday morning. The reason I play that clip, another reason why, is because what I want to do on this episode is something a little bit different. Now, it's not like I haven't done this before, but it is a little bit different. In the past, I have read out names. In fact, just over a year ago, dear listener, I read out hundreds of names of people who had passed away from COVID-19 here inside the United States. On Memorial Day weekend of 2020, I believe it was a Sunday, that Memorial Day Sunday weekend, there had been a New York Times cover on that Sunday in May of 2021 with on the cover the names of hundreds of people who had died. In fact, the New York Times printed out, I believe, all 100,000 at that time, oddly enough, believe it or not, there had been, and that's a large number, 100,000 people who had died. And I believe, if I remember correctly, I still have the cover of this, that the New York Times had printed out on its front cover, and it continued into the inside covers of the paper, 100,000 names of the people who had died from COVID-19 inside the United States. And that was in the first 3 or so months of this pandemic here in the United States when it hit us in late February, or maybe early February, actually. And then the news of the first deaths came right at the end of the month. And if you remember, 2020, February was a leap month, a leap year, 2020. And the news of the first deaths came, I think, right at the end of the month, 29th of February. And it turned out that the first deaths were back in February the 5th and 6th of the year, 2020. But all of that is background to get to the main point that I want to make is that I have read out names before. And I just cited the New York Times when I read the names off of a lot of names of those 100,000 from that cover on that Sunday in Memorial Day, on Memorial Day weekend of last year. What I want to do now, though, is go to the New York Times again, and I'm going to read to you every one of the 147 traitors, the Republicans, who voted to overturn the election results that you just heard a Republican vice president certify and affirm. And I am going to read out those names, each and every one of them. I am also going to tell you what you need to do if you are in the districts or in the states where these people are running. And I'm also going to offer you some further background on what is going on right now. So you heard from Vice President Pence back on January 7th when he was in the last 2 weeks of his vice presidency. You heard from the Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar out of Minnesota. And even though there were further objections to these results before those two names of those persons were heard, finally, those election results at 3:45, 3:46 to be precise, in the morning, East Coast time, on January 7th, were finally affirmed. I'm going to come back and start reading these names. Because you need to take a pen and have some paper handy. And I would love for you to write down these names. And I would like for you to get involved in trying to vote these people out. Really, this must be done. And you need to speak to some people who live in these states, the people that I'm going to be reading out. And if they are in those districts, you need to get active and you need to tell people in those particular areas of these states or in these states, you need to tell people to vote these people out. I'm going to come back, provide just a bit more background, and then I'm going to go and read each and every one of these 147 Republican traitor names. That's coming up right after this. Welcome back. So let me go into something here for a few moments before getting to reading these names. And I really do urge you, dear listener, to get a pen and paper handy if you have not already. But what I want to get into is the 47 traitors that I mentioned at the very start here. If you remember, dear listener, cast your mind back maybe about 5, 6, 7 years ago or so, and President Obama, it would have had to have been at least 5 years ago now, President Obama was in office as President of the United States. Remember, he left office on January the 20th, 2017. And he had enjoyed a 8-year stay in the White House. Now, if you remember, there was the 47 traitors. Now, these were 47 Republican United States senators who had signed on to a letter that was written by the Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas, if I remember correctly. I think that's where he's from. And that letter was a letter telling the Iranians to walk away from the table with President Obama and the State Department dealing with the arms treaty that President Obama had tried to get the Iranians to sign. And the idea was, is that, well, you really shouldn't bother getting into any deals with this present administration because there's going to be elections coming up and in the next couple of weeks or months or years. And, you know, we may be able to do something that is a lot better for you, blah, 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 blah. So that really is the story here. And that is the thing that the 47 traitors is about. So they got termed 47 traitors. And this is something that is very, very important. It really is. Because it's important for people to understand that this Republican traitorism did not just begin on January 6, 2021. And it certainly did not just begin even in the year of, I guess it was 2015. I'll get the exact year in a moment. This has been going on in the Republican Party for a long time. Back to Nixon in 1968 with the infamous phone call that Everett Dirksen and LBJ made to each other. I think it was LBJ who called Everett Dirksen. I'm not quite sure. I don't know. But the bottom line is, it was in this month back in 1968. I think it was October the 2nd or so. May have been actually a bit later. May have been October 28th or so of 1968. Just before the presidential election. And Everett Dirksen and LBJ, and I've played this call several times on this particular podcast, discuss what Nixon's doing. And you have LBJ saying, because Nixon wanted to, you know, he was telling, this is a guy running for president at the time, Richard Nixon in 1968, is telling the South Vietnamese to walk away from the table in Paris, from the peace talks, walk away. Walk away from these talks. I can get you a better deal. All you have to do is walk away from the table, and I promise you, once I get elected, I can make the deal for you a whole lot better. And by the way, let me just tell you, dear listener, that the South Vietnamese walked away from the table in Paris. They relied upon Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon had sent this spy, Anna Chenault, or Chenault, or Chenault, however you pronounce it, C-H-E-N-N-A-U-L-T. You can go look that up if you wish. And Anna Chenault, or Chenault, was a spy. And she was brought in there to subvert and sway these talks. She had certain contacts and intelligence. And Nixon was in touch with her. I mean, Nixon wasn't even elected at this point. He's running all this interference. He is really, as a private citizen, violating all kinds of... I mean, he's creating treason, committing treason, treasonous acts. And so when LBJ and Everett Dirksen, who at that time was the Senate leader of the Senate, the Republican Senate leader, I think, at the time, or certainly the ranking senator on the Republican side, and he and LBJ were good friends, good colleagues, because LBJ, you know, used to be the head of the Senate and was in the Senate for many a year and wielded his influence in the Senate to tremendous influence when he became president in 1963. And then in his own term, in his own right, when he won the 1964 election, just absolutely crushing Barry Goldwater in a landslide. And so that relationship served him very well. And so when he and Dirksen got together on the phone in late October of 1968, when this conversation was going on, LBJ said, "Well, Everett, that's treason," talking about Nixon and what I just described to you. And Dirksen said, "I know." And I mean, that's what happened. You can go listen to the tapes. I've played them here. And I may do it again in coming up when we get closer to October the 28th or 29th, whenever it was. I may play them again. So you can hear this again. I've played them at least twice here on this podcast over the last 16, 17 months, I think. Bottom line here is that this is not new for the Republicans. And what I would really love the corporate news media to do, and I don't watch the corporate news media, but if you do, see if they do any overview about all of this. Or are they content to just say, this is just a left versus right issue, and you don't have to worry. It's just the usual stuff in Washington. And it is not the usual stuff in Washington. It's the usual traitor stuff from Republicans. It's very dangerous. This is an existential threat. This is not some beltway garbage. This is real. You've got insurrectionists and terrorists and traitors doing all these things. And when Nixon got into power, I have news for you, dear listener, particularly if you may not be aware of this. The news is that the war continued on in Vietnam. There was no better deal for the South Vietnamese. Nixon got in, and the war raged on. And it kept going for at least another 5 or 6 or 7 years as far as the United States' participation in it was concerned. Until I believe it was maybe 74 or 75, those Chinook helicopters got bounced off the landing pad in Saigon, and it was adios. U.S. with their butts kicked, defeated, tails between their legs. Nixon, office bound, kicked out of office. After Watergate, he was going to be impeached. He said, "I'm done." And on August the 9th, 1974, he got onto that Marine One helicopter, gave the two peace signs, and he was done, out. I think the war barely outlasted him. So I'm providing all this background, and I go back now to this open letter, the 47 traitors letter. Because I don't want people to forget this. It's funny. I was trying to get this letter, and you can't find this letter anywhere, right? I mean, you can find it if you dig. You can find it if you dig. This was in 2015, so I was right. And here's what you need to know. Whereas in 1968, the South Vietnamese actually walked away from the peace talks table in Paris, the Iranian foreign minister, Javad Zarif, condemned the letter by Tom Cotton and the other 46 Republican traitors, as did President Obama. You may also remember that I believe it was in that same year, 2015, that the Republican-dominated House at the time invited Israeli, then-Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to speak on the House floor without telling the White House that they were going to do this. This was really disgusting. And quite frankly, if you really think about it, it was a national security issue. That could present national security problems, even if Israel is an ally to the United States. You don't allow leaders of foreign countries to just come in and speak on the House floor and you're not notifying the executive branch. You're not notifying the State Department. That's what the Republicans did when they were controlling the House of Representatives. That's what they did. Come on in, Mr. Prime Minister. They invited him in. And by the way, the relationship between Obama and Netanyahu was not great. And the Republicans knew that. They know that. So they invite this guy in. Even if his relationship was great, you have to notify the White House. And you have Netanyahu there speaking on the House floor. This is something that you don't do. Just like you don't write letters to foreign nations telling them to disregard a sitting United States president's attempts to negotiate with you. Or I should say, they attempt to negotiate with them. You don't write letters to foreign governments telling them to disregard the blooming governor, the government that you're from. That is treason. That is traitorous. And this has been a long staple in Republican politics. This is the same thing that happened in 2018 when you had the Helsinki, Finland press conference, the infamous press conference, Putin and the orange guy, and the orange guy's throwing the United States intelligence agencies, all 25 of them, under the bus for Putin. That's an act of treason right there, traitorous behavior right there. On the world stage in front of everybody. Well, the United States has been foolish. I think we've all been foolish. What United States president has ever called the United States foolish? And also, on top of that, call that nation that they're supposed to represent foolish in front of the eyes of the entire world. By the way, I should point out that not only did the Iranian foreign minister denounce this treasonous letter, not only did President Obama, but also Vice President Biden did as well. Quote, "This was expressly designed," this is the letter he's referring to, Vice President Biden in 2015. "This letter was expressly designed to undercut a sitting president in the midst of sensitive international negotiations," end quote. And, quote, "beneath the dignity of the Senate, an institution I revere. This letter sends a highly misleading signal to friend and foe alike that our Commander-in-Chief cannot deliver on America's commitments, a message that is as false as it is dangerous," end quote, Biden said. Quote, "Honorable people can disagree over policy, but this is no way to make America safer or stronger," end quote. That was Vice President Biden in 2015. I want to, again, I promise I'm going to get to read out these names, But I want to just give you this background, dear listener, because I do believe it's important. It is very important. Context is everything. You don't just plunge in, right? Well, maybe you do. It depends on what it is that you're plunging into, what your disposition is. But when it comes to matters of politics and matters of history, you need context. You don't just start in the middle and just feel your way around. You have to have a roadmap, a guidance tour. You don't just start in and start from somewhere. You have to have some context to set you on your way so you understand what's going on around you. I keep saying this. To quote James Baldwin, if you do not know what has gone on before you, you do not know what is going on around you. And that is what this corporate news media that many people watch completely fails to care to do anything about. They don't give you proper context on anything. They start you bang in the middle and then they flash shiny objects at you. But here on this podcast, I am not one to give you any shiny objects. I'm going to give you context. And I appreciate you for listening and for your patience and indulging me here. 47 Republican traitors. These are United States senators. Every last one of these people are Republicans, including Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and Lindsey Graham. All four of them are still in the United States Senate today. Today. You have four of the people who signed that letter from 2015 that was written by Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, who are still in the United States Senate right now. I want to point to this letter because I really think that this letter needs to be highlighted before I get, and it helps to give you some perspective here. And I think it's important that we do understand what this is. Because I think that if you understand what this is, then you see what the game is. And it's a very dangerous game that's being played. And I'm going to build upon what I am explaining to you here. And I hope that I am being sufficiently clear. If I'm not, then I'm sure that you will let me know. But I do really want to emphasize that before I even get to reading out names, I do want to give you context because it is important to. And I believe that when you have context, you have deeper understanding. When you have deeper understanding, at that point, you have a better education and you can effectively see what the game is and you can be in a better position to deal with it. I just really think that people have to understand how serious this is, and for the corporate news media, if they are doing so, to just merely call this a game of Republicans versus Democrats, when it really is Republicans versus the country and Republicans versus any notion of democracy, is quite reckless on the part of the corporate news media. It really, truly is. And I do think that we cannot take a chance here to pretend that this does not exist. Seriously, I think that this is very, very dangerous stuff. And the more that we push back against it, the better. and the solutions that come from it, the better. Because we've got to do that. We have to do this. You know, we can react, but we've also got to act. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. I am going to show you this letter. Oh, play it. Listen, play it to you. I am going to read this letter to you. March the 9th, 2015. This is on United States Senate stationery. An open letter to the leaders of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is the same political party that demonizes Islam, demonizes Muslim people, people who are of the Muslim faith, excuse me, demonizes anything to do with Iran. It has come to our attention, while observing your nuclear negotiations with our government, that you may not fully understand our constitutional system. Thus, we are writing to bring to your attention two features of our Constitution, the power to make binding international agreements and the different character of federal offices, which you should seriously consider as negotiations progress. First, under our Constitution, while the President negotiates international agreements, Congress plays the significant role of ratifying them. In the case of a treaty, the United States Senate must ratify it by a two-thirds vote. A so-called congressional executive agreement requires a majority vote in both the House and the Senate, which, because of procedural rules, effectively means a three-fifths vote in the Senate. Anything not approved by Congress is a mere executive agreement. Second, the offices of our Constitution have different characteristics. For example, the president may only serve 2 4-year terms, whereas senators may serve an unlimited number of 6-year terms. As applied today, for instance, President Obama will leave office in January 2017, while most of us will remain in office well beyond then, perhaps decades. What these two constitutional provisions mean is that we will consider any agreement regarding your nuclear weapons program that is not approved by the Congress as nothing more than an executive agreement between President Obama and Ayatollah Khomeini. The next president could revoke such an executive agreement with the stroke of a pen, and future Congresses could modify the terms of the agreement at any time. We hope this letter enriches your knowledge of our constitutional system and promotes mutual understanding and clarity as nuclear negotiations progress. Sincerely, Tom Cotton. I'm going to read out the rest of these names. This is disgusting, that letter. And it's hard to find that letter now. I remember when it was available over 6 years ago, 6.5 years ago, plus, it was all over the place. Now on the internet, you've got to really dig for it. Yeah, I wonder who scrubbed I wonder who scrubbed those letters. I wonder who scrubbed the 47 traitor's letter. I wonder who. I had to dig for a good 10 minutes to find it. Yeah, okay. So let me read out the names. The person who wrote it was Tom Cotton. He is still in office. These are all Republican senators. I'm reading the names of it. Their signatures are right here. I'm reading them right now. David Perdue, I believe he may still be in office. These are all Republicans. John Cornyn, he's still in office. Some of these signatures I cannot read. Goodness gracious me. Mitch McConnell, there you go. He is still in office. He's the minority leader. Joni Ernst, she's still in office. And again, I will say that I cannot read some of these signatures. Dan Sullivan, he's still in office. Roger Wicker, I believe he is still in office. Richard Shelby, he's still in office. Shelley Moore Capito, she's still in office. Tom Tillis, he's still in office. Ron Johnson, Rush, a.k.a. Russia Ron, he's still in office. Chuck Grassley, he's still in office. Roy Blunt, he is still in office as far as I know. I think he's actually, he retired. He actually resigned, I think. in January of this year, I believe. John Thune, he's still in office. John Thune, he's still in office. Mike Crapo, he's still in office. Bill Cassidy, he's still in office. The thing about Bill Cassidy, he actually was one of the five or six Republicans, if I remember correctly, who voted to impeach and convict Orange Man in the second impeachment trial. And he's one of the people who signed on to this 47 traitors letter in 2015. Ben Sass, the guy that goes, and he also voted to convict Trump. I mentioned his name. Yuck. Ben Sass, the guy that's, I'm a high-minded person and the ideals of this country should be this, that, and the other, but I vote with the orange guy 96% of the time, though. That guy signed on to this 47 traitors letter. He's still in office. John Barrasso, he's still in office. These are names I have trouble reading some of these. Pat Roberts, I think he left. Orrin Hatch, he left. I think that there's a load of these names. And there's another, there's a load of names here. And I'm trying to find the rest of them. My goodness gracious me. This is what happens. This is what happens, folks. This is what happens. This is what you get, right? All of these people. And there's more names. And I'm trying to find, there's a load in that these names are. I mean, that's just a few of the names. I can't even read half the, look, I can't even read these signatures. I mean, these signatures are, good grief. But you get the idea. John McCain, he's no longer with us. John McCain signed on to that. The guy that many people champion now. Oh, John McCain, he's such a great this and he's such a great that. He signed on to this letter. You imagine telling people, as Tom Cotton did in the letter I just read out, well, we just want to let you know that this is how our constitutional system works. And if you want to break into it and subvert it, come on in. We'll give you the keys. That's what Republicans do. That's what they did on January 6th. Inside job. Everyone pretends now that's not an inside job. Oh, no, not an inside job. That's just an investigation that we're going to have here. The commission on January 6th is going to just investigate this. And who are you investigating? Can you haul in the Republican House members who voted to decertify these results? I'm going to get to their names next break, after the next break. Are you going to haul in at least 6 or 7 or 8 Republican senators who voted to decertify these blooming results? Are you going to do that in your investigation? We'll see. I'm not going to be holding my breath, though. Oh, well, we just want you to know how our constitution works, Iran. So bizarre. This letter is so disgusting and so treasonous. And I just wanted to read it to you so that you remembered it. Because a lot of people, dear listener, have forgotten it altogether. And I want to tell you, some of those names I read out, many of them are running next year. And that's where I'm tying all of this together, dear listener. Because I would not read these things out in a vacuum. I did say earlier that context means something. And the reason I'm doing all this is because I'm going to tie it to something a little bit later on. But I'm going to really get the ball rolling right after this. Welcome back. I want to read out one other name that I did not read out. Rob Portman. And Rob Portman is not seeking re-election. He is going to be standing down at the end of his term, which I believe ends in January of 2022. I believe that's, excuse me, January of 2023, pardon me, because the midterms are next year. So January of 2023, I believe that Rob Portman of Ohio is going to be leaving the Senate. He will not be seeking re-election to the best of my knowledge. And I believe, by the way, the Democrat, Tim Ryan of Ohio, will be mounting a challenge for that Senate seat. So Rob Portman signed on to this 47 traitors letter as well. And I heard people recently on, I think, C-SPAN or somewhere, oh, Rob Portman is such a decent man. He's a good man. Oh, is he? Is he a good man? Signing on to a 47 traitors letter? So he's one of the 47. So he's a good man, is he? I know, people are complicated. But how complicated is that? He put his John Hancock on the bloomin' dotted line. I'm looking at his name right now. John McCain, Pat Robert. Look, I've read the names. I've read a number of the names. I was trying to see if Pat Toomey's on there as well. Pat Toomey, he's out of there. He's no longer running. I think he actually retired already. Pat Toomey put his name on this. These are people, these are everyday people in the Senate, Republicans, and they're traitors. They put their names on this stuff. It's just absolutely disgusting. It really, truly is. Cory Gardner put his name on it. He's no longer in. He got voted out, thank goodness. George Hickenlooper has taken his place in Colorado. So those are as many of them. I was trying to see if Ted Cruz's name is on there. It probably is. I can't even read his handwriting. I don't know if it is. But anyway, there you go. So let me now move on to this new, more recent situation. And by the way, again, this is a history for Republicans have done this for a long time. Richard Nixon, I talked about. Ronald Reagan also did this with arms for hostages. And oh, well, if you hold off on releasing those hostages, Iran, see, they love to communicate with Iran, don't they? They demonize Iran. They say Iran is this and Iran is that, but they are in bed with Iran. And they're writing to Iran about our constitution here in the United States. And I would like to let you know, this is our process. If you're interested, give us a call, won't you? And then the same thing, Iran, Ronald Reagan, arms for hostages, and delay the release of the American hostages. And if you do, we'll give you these arms deals. And if you just delay it a little bit more, until I can win this election against Jimmy Carter, just delay. They had the hostages ready to be released. And you had Reagan making these back channel calls, or people in behind in his circle making these calls. Delay, delay, don't release them yet. Wait till I get in. And lo and behold, he gets in what was a pretty hefty win. Actually, 84 was the landslide year. But he beat Carter because the Democratic Party was fractured in 1980. If you remember, dear listener, the Democratic National Convention that year, and I believe it was in New York City at Madison Square Garden that year, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember exactly. It could have been somewhere else, but I think it's New York. And that was such a bitter convention between Ted Kennedy and Jimmy Carter that by the time Carter won that nomination, he was so bloodied and bruised. And when the general election came, it told. And voters said, you're out of here. We want someone new. This TV pitchman will do. And he will do us just fine. Bedtime for Bonzo and all the rest of it. General Electric Theater and all the rest of it. Governor of California decimating education and all the rest of it. Governor of California who was a General Electric pitchman, who was a hideous governor and a movie actor who couldn't act. He'll do us fine. We love putting celebrities in the White House. Let's do it again. And so they did. I'm trying to think of the previous one to him that they put in that was a celebrity. Some might say Kennedy was, but he wasn't. Of course, since Reagan, we've put a celebrity in the White House, haven't we? Not we, not you, perhaps. Definitely not I. But Reagan did this, delayed the release of the hostages. Carter would have had them, and that probably would have swung the election Carter's way. But Reagan, oh, I get in, boom, hostages released. I look good. Then I give a speech in his campaign. Then I go give a speech in the most racist part of the country. In Mississippi, where the three civil rights workers, James Cheney, Michael Schwerner and Andrew Goodman were murdered. I give a speech right there where that happened and said, states' rights, states' rights. Because I'm not trying to appeal to someone, am I? With a pointy hat that's white. I'm not trying to appeal to someone. That's why I do my political speech, my first campaign speech, right there where those three civil rights workers got murdered. Because I'm not trying to appeal to a certain demographic of people in Mississippi, in Neshoba County, am I? I'm not trying to do that. But that's what he did. States' rights, states' rights. The Republicans have been doing this forever. And for those of you who watch the corporate news media, tell these people to and these producers and editors and directors to stop focusing on shiny objects and give people the truth like John Lennon said. John Lennon, listen to me. Yeah, Don Lemon, John Lennon. Same difference. No, quite a big difference, I might add. And like John Lennon said, give me the truth. Give us the truth. Stop crapping around with this nonsense that doesn't educate or enrich anybody. It's gossip theater and nothing less than that and nothing more than that. So this is the thing. The history has to be told and the truth has to be told. The facts have to be told to you. And the fact is that on January 6th and on January 7th of 2021, you had these Republican traitors who voted to overturn the election results. It was all lies. All of these things were legitimate results. Certified, official, legitimate results. Confirmed by many Republican secretaries of state and election officials who are Republican. And these Republican traitors voted to overturn the election results that had been certified and audited and everything else. We want to overturn them, even though that they are factual. We want to overturn them. And there have been numerous reports over the last few weeks that have come out saying that all these people and the orange guy, Menace, and those people who went to court in a show to try to overturn all these things, they all knew that they were lying. They knew that these results were legitimate, but they did it anyway to calm that base of theirs that doesn't think. And they got laughed out of court 60 some odd times. You know the story. Giuliani going in there, his head, the hair dyed. Oh, it's so disgusting. Dripping off his face and all the rest of it. Sorry for the image and the vision. But these people are disgusting. And they're being sued for millions of dollars. And I think all of them should lose their bar licenses. They should not be able to practice law anymore. And so you've got all of this madness and mayhem and traitorous evil going on. And you have, at the same time as this terrorist attack is unfolding, you have these Republican traitors voting to overturn the results in which people like you and I voted. I'm going to read this from the New York Times. This is actually from the article, so I'm going to be reading this, and you can read it too. If you don't want to have a pen and paper handy to write down the names of these people, and I recommend that you do, you can also go to the New York Times and search or on online anywhere and type in the 147 Republicans who voted to overturn election results. And there you will then be taken to a New York Times article. It may be a paywall article, so you may have to pay for it or whatever. Now, the point is, I'm going to read it now to you so you don't have to pay for it. But you can read it. And then there are the faces of 147 Republicans, overwhelmingly white. There are precisely two black people who are in this photograph of 100 of these 147 photographs. Two of them are black people, both male. All the other people in the photo are white. The majority of them are white men. There are a considerable number, however, who are white women. At least 20 in this photo that I can see are white women. You must never forget that these 147 people did this. You must never, ever, ever forget it. Because next year, there's the midterm elections. 2022 midterm elections. And each of these people, at least the House members, are going to be up for re-election. You need to vote these people out. And I'm going to give you their names right now. And these are the people who voted to overturn and objected to the election results in Arizona and then later on in Pennsylvania. There were 8 Republican United States senators who voted to overturn the results. And there were 139 Republican House members who voted to do the same. And when you add 8 and 139, you get 147. I'm going to read the names first of the people in the Senate. There were 8 United States senators. 2 of them female, 6 of them male, all of them white. I'm going to be reading these names, and they are not in alphabetical order. They are in state order. Alphabetical state order. In the Senate, Tommy Tuberville, Alabama. Rick Scott, Florida. Roger Marshall, Kansas. John Kennedy, Louisiana. Cindy Hyde Smith, Mississippi. Josh Hawley, Missouri. Ted Cruz, Texas. Cynthia Lummis, Wyoming. Those are the 8 senators who voted to overturn the election results. Here now are the 139 Republicans in the House who voted to overturn the election results. And I hope you've been taking notes on this. The states so far that I read out: Alabama, Florida, Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Texas, Wyoming. These are all Republican strongholds. Now I'm going to read out the names of all 139 Republicans in the House who voted to overturn the election results. This is treasonous. And again, this is in state order, not alphabetical order. Robert Aderholt, Alabama. Mo Brooks, Alabama. Jerry Call, Alabama. Barry Moore, Alabama. Gary Palmer, Alabama. Mike Rogers, Alabama. Andy Biggs, Arizona. Paul Gosar, Arizona. Debbie Lesko, Arizona. David Schweikert, Arizona. Rick Crawford, Arkansas. Ken Calvert, California. Mike Garcia, California. Daryl Issa, California. Doug LaMalfa, California. Kevin McCarthy, California. Devin Nunez, California. Jay Albanolte, California. Lauren Boebert, Colorado. Doug Lamborn, Colorado. Kat Kamek, Florida. Mario Diaz-Balart, Florida. His brother, by the way, is Jose, I believe, Diaz-Balart, who can be seen on Telemundo on MSNBC. Byron Donalds, Florida. Neil Dunn, Florida. Scott Franklin, Florida. Matt Gaetz, Florida. Carlos Jimenez, Florida. Brian Mast, Florida. Bill Posey, Florida. John Rutherford, Florida. Greg Stubbe, Florida. Daniel Webster, Florida. Rick Allen, Georgia. Earl Buddy Carter, Georgia. Andrew Clyde, Georgia. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Georgia. Jody Heiss, Georgia. Barry Loudermilk, Georgia. Russ Fulcher, Idaho. Mike Bost, Illinois. Mary Miller, Illinois. Jim Baird, Indiana. Jim Banks, Indiana. Greg Pence, Indiana. He is the older brother of Mike Pence. Jackie Walorski, Indiana. Ron Estes, Kansas. Jacob Laterna, Kansas. Tracy Mann, Kansas. Harold Rogers, Kentucky. Garrett Graves, Louisiana. Clay Higgins, Louisiana. That guy is stone cold crazy. Mike Johnson, Louisiana. Steve Scalise, Louisiana. Now, Steve Scalise, you may remember, he was shot in 2017 or 18 during the softball game that plays annually in the Congress between the Democrats and the Republicans. Andy Harris, Maryland. Jack Bergman, Michigan. Lisa McLean, Michigan. Tim Wahlberg, Michigan. Michelle Fishback, Minnesota. Jim Hagedorn, Minnesota. Michael Guest, Mississippi. Trent Kelly, Mississippi. Stephen Palazzo, Mississippi. Sam Graves, Missouri. Vicky Hartzler, Missouri. Billy Long, Missouri. Blaine Lutkemeyer, Missouri. Jason Smith, Missouri. Matt Rosendale, Montana. Dan Bishop, North Carolina. Ted Budd, North Carolina. Madison Cawthorn, North Carolina. Virginia Fox, North Carolina. Richard Hudson, North Carolina. Gregory Murphy, North Carolina. David Ruza, North Carolina. Jeff Van Drew, New Jersey. Yvette Harrell, New Mexico. Chris Jacobs, New York. Nicole Malliotakis, New York. I've spoken about her before. I spoke about her in reference to when she debated against the Democrat Max Rose last year, and she presented herself a whole lot better than he did, and she fought for her ideas, as toxic as some of them were. And now she, come to think of it, I didn't even know, she ended up getting into Congress, and one of the first things she does is vote to overturn the election results that are legitimate and certified. Elise Stefanik, New York. Lee Zeldin, New York. Adrian Smith, Nebraska. Steve Chabot, Ohio. Warren Davidson, Ohio. Bob Gibbs, Ohio. Bill Johnson, Ohio. Jim Jordan, Ohio. Jim Jordan should be behind bars. Stephanie Bice, Oklahoma. Tom Cole, Oklahoma. Kevin Hearn, Oklahoma. Frank Lucas, Oklahoma. No relation, or the namesake. He is the namesake, but he is no relation at all to the Frank Lewis, who used to be one of Harlem's biggest notorious gang leaders and, I guess, drug runners as well. Not quite sure if that's true, but definitely a big-time kingpin in Harlem, Frank Lucas. But this Frank Lucas is a very different Frank Lucas. Oklahoma. Mark Wayne Mullen, Oklahoma. Cliff Bentz, Oregon. John Joyce, Pennsylvania. Fred Keller, Pennsylvania. Mike Kelly, Pennsylvania. Dan Musa, Pennsylvania. Scott Perry, Pennsylvania. Guy Riechenthaler, Pennsylvania. Lloyd Schmucker, Pennsylvania. Glenn Thompson, Pennsylvania. I read out about 7 or 8 names for Pennsylvania there. And let me tell you something about them. 8 names. These people are really pretty filthy. Disgusting. And in the Pennsylvania House legislature, there were Republicans who had COVID-19 last year, and they did not tell their Democratic colleagues. And they got sick. Some of these people got sick. And Brian Sims, who still is, I think, a member of the legislature on the Democratic side, made a video about it, and he went off on these Republicans. Imagine holding meetings and not telling everybody that you had COVID. I know people do stuff like this. They spread everything. Oh, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm just going to stink. and I'm going to just spread my virus. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I spread it like perfume. I spread on here, spread over there, cough a little here, sneeze a little there, cough a little over here, cough a little over there, and I'm good to go. So is the virus. Don't you just love that? People who are disgusting. Yeah, sure. It's just disgusting, the whole thing. Jeff Duncan, South Carolina. Ralph Norman, South Carolina. Tom Rice, South Carolina. William Timmons, South Carolina. Joe Wilson, South Carolina. That's the guy that shouted out, "You lie," during a presidential address that President Obama was giving. I think it was back in 2015 or 14, or whenever it was. And it wasn't I don't believe it was a State of the Union. It was some kind of other address. And all of a sudden, this piece of garbage shouts out, "You lie." That was so disgusting. And he fundraised off of that and fundraised millions of dollars off of that. Oh, I'm going to make money off of calling the president a liar. And he was awfully silent, was this Joe Wilson, when the piece of garbage who was in the White House at the beginning of this year was lying his ass off 25,000 times, or maybe 50,000 times, or whatever. Lost count. You see, Joe Wilson couldn't find it in his heart to call him a liar, though. Oh, no. Oh, no. That would be too much. And too beyond Joe Wilson. Tom Burchett, Tennessee. Scott Desjarlais, Tennessee. I've told you about Scott Desjarlais. He's a piece of garbage as well. This is the anti-abortion guy, the Republican who screams so loud, "I believe in pro-life. I believe a woman should not be able to choose, except when I impregnate the woman I've cheated with and I force her, or I try to force her, to get rid of it." Scott Desjarlais is a piece of garbage. So he cheats on his spouse, right? And again, people do all kinds of things in their private lives. So I'm not sitting here judging anything. I'm just telling you what the deal is. And so he's cheating with a woman, not his wife, right? He impregnates her, so he's not using any condoms, right? He's not using any condoms. And gets her pregnant, and then tells her, "Well, forget my views on being pro-life and forget my views on being anti-choice. Here's your choice. Get rid of it." And she said, "Screw you, Buster. This is my child and you can go F yourself." I mean, she didn't say that. I'm saying it. But he bullied her. He harangued this particular woman that he cheated on. Harangued her, threatened all kinds of stuff. And she stood up and said, "No." So that's Scott Desjarlais, a piece of garbage he is. Chuck, he voted to overturn the results too. These are scumbags. I know I shouldn't be using that language. I know, I get it. But I should use that language. And more than that, we need to get involved. Because these people are disgusting. Scott Desjarlais is definitely one of them. Degenerate. Chuck Fleischman, Tennessee. Mark Green, Tennessee. Diana Harshbarger, Tennessee. David Kustoff, Tennessee. John Rose, Tennessee. Jody Arrington, Texas. Brian Babin, Texas. Michael Burgess, Texas. John Carter, Texas. Michael Cloud, Texas. Pat Fallon, Texas. Louis Gohmert, Texas. Oh, God, Louis Gohmert. Jeez, where do we begin with him? I won't. Lance Gooden, Texas. Ronnie Jackson, Texas. Oh, jeez, Ronnie freaking Jackson. This is the so-called White House doctor under you-know-who. And he ran for office and he won. How dense is he? And the people who voted for him. Yeah, I said it. Tommy Niels, or Nails, N-E-H-L-S, Texas. August Pfluger, Texas. Pete Sessions, Texas. Beth Van Dyne, Texas. Randy Weber, Texas. Roger Williams, Texas. Ron Wright, Texas. Burgess Owens, Utah. This guy spoke at the Republican National Convention last year, and he talked a bunch of garbage. Chris Stewart, Utah. Ben Klein, Virginia. Bob Good, Virginia. Morgan Griffith, Virginia. Robert Whitman, Virginia. Carol Miller, West Virginia. Alexander Mooney, West Virginia. Scott Fitzgerald, Wisconsin. And Tom Tiffany, Wisconsin. Those are the 139 Republicans in the House, traitors, who voted to overturn official election results in these states. I mean, this is hideous. A total of 147 people overall, traitors, all Republicans. I'm going to tell you next what you need to do about these people. And what I mean by that is you have to vote them out. Welcome back. Now, those are all the names. I know it's a lot of names. Thank you for your patience, dear listener, in abiding with me as I read out all of those names and did sprinkle it with some observations about some of the names I read out so that you can get a slight bit of a respite. But those are the names, and I hope that you listened to those names and that you were writing them down. I am going to, and I really do need to revive this newsletter because I've done a horrible job lately of this. Well, I shouldn't promise anything. I will tell you when it's up and ready so that you know. But I want to link to that particular story that I read all the names from, so that if you haven't been able to write them down, and I hope you do, I'll try to have that linked. But for now, please write down those names. Number one. Number two, I want you to go to the website's HOUSC, that's house.gov as in victory. And I want you to go to the website Senate, S-E-N, as in Nancy, A-T as in Thomas, E.gov. And I want you to plug in the names of the people that you heard. In the Senate, those eight Republican senators, I want you to plug in their names in the search bar that you will find on the homepage of the United States Senate website at senate.gov. And I want you to do the same thing for the 138 names that you heard from the House Republicans that I read out. On both of those homepages, there are search bars. Type in the names of each of these senators in the senate.gov website at the top on that homepage, and you will be given and get, you will be able to get their office address and phone number. What you need to be doing is calling them. Or what you need to do even more than that is to organize a group of people. Not to stalk outside their homes, none of that stuff. But I want you to organize with your group, whether that is a group that you started or whether that's with an organization, and point out these 147 Republicans in the House. Excuse me, these 139 Republicans in the House who betrayed the country when they voted against these results. Because that is a betrayal of you and you and you and me and us. And we have to do that. Let's focus on these 147. Of course, there's a lot of others as well to focus on these Republicans. But we need to focus on these 147, 139 in the House and 8 in the Senate. And we need to, whatever organization we are affiliated with or want to join, let's join it first and or create our own organization. As I've always said, write down issues that matter to you, write down a sentence or two about them, and convene a group of like-minded people who on Zoom can talk with you and you have a conversation together, and then you build an organization and you bring these issues to politicians, or you join, and you can do both, and you can join other organizations and do this. And make this your agenda. Make this getting out these 139 House Republicans your agenda. Also, make it your agenda to get rid of the 8 Republican senators who've voted to decertify and eliminate these results. I mean, it's disgusting. These people don't deserve to be in the House or in the Senate if they're doing stuff like this. Believe you me. They do not. So plug their names in and be aware of their information. And don't forget to mobilize and organize. And do phone banking to get these people out of office. You need to be educating people all over the country. They're just waiting to be informed and educated. Cut through all the noise and the garbage and give it to them straight. Tell the people that this is what they must do and that these people voted against you. That's what you need to do. They voted to overturn and erase you. You need to be making aggressive pitches to people, not nasty ones, aggressive ones, about what's at stake, about what these Republicans are doing and how it endangers your very existence. This is what you have to start saying to these people, you know. Because you've got these Republicans lying to you with these push polls and these robocalls that are a bunch of garbage and lies and racist. And let's just lie about black folk and brown folk and make them our boogeyman. Ooh, I'm so scared. But that's what these Republicans do. Every election freaking cycle, they have these robocalls that are a bunch of lies, telling you that the election's on one day when it's on another. They'll tell you that the elections are a day after they actually happen. So that when you go a day later, hey presto, oh, the election finished yesterday. This is what these people do. They're dirty and disgusting, mate. And I really do want us all to get ahead of them. And do not be seduced by the bullcrap. So let's get to work. Let's make phone calls. Let's organize. Let's join organizations. There's so many organizations out there. Look at your email inbox. And look at all the emails you get from political organizations. And you have to think, are you a member of them or are you not? And if you are, then make sure you pull this agenda about getting these 147 people out. Now, I don't know when the senators are running. Some of those senators may not be running. I know this, at least 34 Senate seats are up for election next year. United States Senate seats. 20 of them, at least, if I'd say actually 24 of them are Republican-held seats. 10 of them are Democratic-held seats. So you know what to do. We've got so much work to do, and it's right in front of us. We can see it. So we should start now. Join an organization. Think about it. All the email you get in your inbox, how many of it comes from political organizations? If you are not a member of them, join them. If you are, great. If you are, join and make up your own organization too. There's never too many political organizations, certainly ones that are useful and helpful. And we need to be proactive. We need to get going. This is no joke. We have a fight for our lives here. And we cannot dawdle around as if this is just another day in the neighborhood. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a neighborly day for beauty. No, we are not doing Mr. Rogers here. And I love Mr. Rogers. Don't get me wrong, dear listener. But we absolutely have to get going with this voting. I'm going to be on this issue a lot, as you can already tell, because I've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks. I played you some audio from the hearing, I believe, last week that was chaired by Senator John Ossoff of Georgia. And I featured prominently the senator out of Hawaii, Mazie Hirono, and a number of other people. Voting rights is such an important thing. It is just beyond important. And I'm going to keep talking about it and raising awareness and also presenting things that you can do and that you can do to also educate people, which is what we must do. We must be doing this. We are all charged, in my view, with this responsibility to educate other people and pass the knowledge on. Do not keep the knowledge to yourself and go, oh, that is not good enough. This knowledge, these facts are made to be shared. Share and share alike. That is what we must do. And we must care about the future and future generations because they are depending on us. And we have to be better than we've been. We've got to make sure that we vote out those 139 Republican House members and vote out, if they are running, this next time in 2022. Vote out those Republican senators, those 8 Republican senators. And even if they're not running next year, make sure you vote them out the next time they're running. Please. All that is left in order for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. Well, it's time for you. It's time for us to do something. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.